Sorry. I'm all over the place right now. Okay, so since we have everyone here, good evening, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us. My name is Jenny, the academic assistant, and I will be facilitating the academic committee meeting. Before we begin, this is a reminder to everyone that the meeting is being recorded. And please make sure to state your name before speaking, meaning for staff, you must state your name and or the role you have within MPS. If you are a board member, please just state your name. However, members of the public, you do not need to state your name if you choose not to. With that said, let's begin. Today is Thursday, October 13th, and we are meeting for the regular MPS Academic Committee meeting. Ms. Gonzalez, can you please call the Academic Committee meeting to order?
Yes, I would like to call the Academic Committee meeting to order on October the 13th, 2022 at 5:01 p.m.
Thank you. Since the meeting has been called to order, I will go ahead and take roll. Ms. Covarrubias? Okay, I'll just skip her and then I'll come back to her. Ms. Eldham?
Here.
Thank you for being present. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you for being present. Ms. Covarrubias? Okay. I know she is on here, but she's probably doing something else. But
you know, her microphone is off.
Yeah, that's okay. But she is here. So we'll just move on to the next item, which is approval of the agenda.
Sorry, I'm here.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for...
I couldn't unmute, sorry.
Oh, no worries, no worries. I said that you were, I know that you're here and you're probably just having technical difficulties, but it's okay. No worries. Okay. Approval of the agenda. Can someone make a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I will go ahead and present the agenda as, approve the agenda as presented. Sorry, it's Diane.
No worries. Thank you, Ms.
And I'll second it, Covarrubias.
And thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding it. And I will go ahead and take votes. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you for voting yes. Ms. Covarrubias, Ms. Eldham?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Eldham, for voting yes for approving the agenda as presented. And Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
For voting yes on the agenda as presented. The motion to approve the agenda for the academic committee meeting on October 13th has passed unanimously. Okay, so next we are moving on to public comments. As a reminder, public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker or 6 minutes if translation is needed. Is there anyone on the line that would like to provide any public comments? Since there are no public comments at this time, I will move on to the next item, which is approval of the minutes from the regular academic committee meeting that took place on March 17th, 2022. Can someone make a motion to approve the minutes from March 17th, 2022?
I'll make the motion, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for making the motion.
Can someone I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding it. I'll go ahead and take votes. Ms. Eldham?
Yes.
Thank you for voting yes on approving the minutes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for approving, voting yes on the minutes. And Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Thank you for voting yes on approving the minutes. The motion to approve the minutes from the regular academic committee meeting that took place on March 17th, 2022 has passed unanimously. Before we move forward to the next item, is there anyone in the public that would like to make a comment? Okay. So the next section is the discussion items. Please note that since 2A are discussion items, there are no actions to be taken. The first and only item in this section are the academic department updates presented by Mr. Ajar. And I will go ahead and present the...
Yes, good evening, board members. We appreciate you joining us, your busy schedules, and having committee meetings on top of the board meetings is a demanding ask from our side. So we appreciate your time. The colleagues, taking time attending as well. Thank you for joining us. My team, the academic department at the home office, we prepared these updates for you. High level updates, 20-something slides. We'll be presenting the same information in the regular board meeting. We can go further in detail in terms of the data and the discussions when we present the slides. So joining me, my team, the home office staff, and some of our site leadership teams as well. So we'll make sure you make sense of the data and information we present to you. We give you opportunities to be part of the planning and reflection of the data and programs happening in our schools so far and for the future planning as well. As you remember, and we have board members, Ms. Esra, we made a May academic update as well, closing the school year. We presented you extensive data. This is the next set of data between that time going into student achievement data. Next slide, Jenny. So in terms of updates, we'll give you some general updates. We'll have special education related updates. We'll be presenting you assessment results comprehensively in ELA, math, and science. Our state test results, CAS results for the previous school year, even though they are not public yet, a number of organizations released their data, including LAUSD. So we want to make sure you hear our results from us as well. We have our 2022-2023, this school year data, the most current data, which is coming from our internal metrics, fall NWA MAP results. And going with the new initiatives and the curriculum instruction support, we'll be presenting our plans to you, our school sites and instruction rounds, supporting the new teachers. You'll be hearing on college programs updates. You'll be hearing our student attendance data, which is important, alongside with school climate data. And then you'll hear from my team members regarding their updates in the specific departments that we support the schools with. With that, I'm going to continue with the next slide. Some general updates. We're excited that we're expanding our support to our schools with three additional positions. Two of them are already filled in, and the third one we'll be filling in pretty soon. First is the expanded learning opportunities. These are before, after school programs, the intersession, the summer programs that is now are called expanded learning. And we received funding. It is the focus of the state to enrich the opportunities for our students, families, to better coordinate the events and activities. We opened a position. It's called ELAP, Expanded Learning Opportunities Programs Position Coordinator. And after a set of interviews, screening and vetting, we found our new team member, Andras Miltier, and actually he's joining us today. Andras, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good evening, everyone. Andros Mills here, the new Expanded Learning Opportunities Coordinator, Programs Coordinator. I'm just excited to be here. Come with a wealth of experience in after-school programming, about 8 to 9 years, where I've worked in Santa Ana, Long Beach Unified, and LA Unified. So just excited to be here.
Definitely, we are equally excited, and he hit the ground strong running, visiting schools. Already, this is his second week. The second position that is on par, actually, in the regular board agenda as well, is the MPS Special Programs Coordinator position. This position had been in our discussions for a number of years. Depending on the needs that we agendize that in the regular board meeting, and we'll be discussing more that we are moving with this position. And we have Chris Zavala joining us from MSA Santa Ana. She is not here right now, but she'll be introducing herself in the upcoming meetings. The third position is a grant-funded position, a visual and performing arts position with Arts Collective Los Angeles. We've been receiving some funds. Requested more funds to improve our arts and music programs, performing arts programs, and we're opening up a part-time position, grant-funded position, all right, as well, to enrich that position. So these are new positions to support our school teams. We've had our symposium, our all-right professional learning, back in September, and that was a great success as well. All of our staff joined to a full day of learning, similar to what we've done in this summer. Ms. Ezra joined us as well during that PD. We continued with our MPSS certification work with the school sites. All staff joined in person from the school sites. We also have had our teacher on special assignment-led sessions, promising practices. So the evaluation of the program was great, and we'll continue building our curriculum and instruction on that. Next exciting thing that I want to inform you that we are, again, MTSS, grant recipient this school year. We applied this grant last year. We are receiving about $545,000 to support our teachers in professional learning in specific areas through a game-based online course, which has pathways for admins, teachers, paraprofessionals, special education, mental health, psychologists, counselors. All of our instruction staff are going through a year-long learning, an online and in-person learning. We partnered with Orange County Department of Education, Los Angeles County Department of Education, and San Diego County Office of Education to provide these courses, learning to our staff. We are in contact with our coaches. We deployed the program in the summer with our summer symposium. And currently all of our staff are enrolled. And not only we are doing online learning, we're also embedding these learnings in our meetings and professional learnings, minimum day Wednesdays. And specifically, our staff is learning how to design curriculum and instruction for all learners, the universal design for learning strategies and philosophy. We are learning about culture and linguistic responsive teaching strategies, which has been our focus for the past 2 years. And also going along with the effect of the pandemic, we are learning on social emotional learning, mental health, and and related topics. So that's the brief summary of the learning that we are going through. Any questions before I go to the next slide? Go back, Jenny. Questions, board members on any of those? All right, I'll continue. Next slide is special education related updates. And I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Kalam. I see she joined us as well. Dr. Kalam.
Hello. Hi, board members and administrators and everyone. I was going to go over the CEIS plan only, but I'm just getting off of a call with San Diego and MSA2, who are still working on their disproportionality documents. So all of this is a part of the CCEIS monitoring from the CDE, from the Department of Education. And we talked before about having to analyze what's causing us to be out of compliance, so to speak, in that our numbers are showing that we have students from one or more specific ethnic groups with over a third identification in the same eligibility area. And when this happens, it puts us into a category called disproportionality. And so just to give you an overview, we have MSA 1 and 5 working on their CCEIS plans. We have two in San Diego who are targeted. We're trying to get them both under a third of their population having the same eligibility. But when they pull the numbers on November 3rd, the state will let us know if they're going to be put into significant dispro as well. And if they do, we'll have to write the CCEIS plan for all four schools and implement it for a year and a half to get us out of significant disproportionality.
Sorry to cut you.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Let's go back. Yes.
So you said 1-5 Santa Ana and who?
1-5 San Diego and MSA2, not Santa Ana.
So 1-5 San Diego
and MSA2.
Okay. Thank you.
So just for clarity, MSA2 and San Diego are in their second year, and one is in their fourth year, and 5 is in their third year. And the thing about it is that it's relatively new for the state to go to this length to try and make sure that people are not being over-identified of any ethnic group. And we don't do the assessments to identify the kids. So it puts us in a kind of a difficult situation because our two schools who actually do the assessments would be our two elementary schools, and they're not anywhere near being out of compliance. So it's not that we're over-testing these kids or over-identifying them. It's just that those are the kids that are being enrolled in our schools. So it makes it look like we're over-identifying them. And so what we're putting in place to try and rectify that is the second bullet, which is the reintegration process. We're going to take a deeper look at the students at their triennial IEPs and look at all of their data for the last 2 years prior to their IEP to see if we can exit those students from having an IEP and maybe move them into getting a 504 plan if they still need some support. But if they're on grade level and they don't need the IEP, that level of support, we're going to try to move them out of having an IEP at that time. So if there are any questions, I'd love to entertain them.
Can you probably explain just basic knowledge or information for our new board member on the difference between the IEP and the 504?
Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The 504 plan is for any child with a disability, whether or not they are behind academically, behind their peers, they are still entitled to the supports if they are needed. So let's say a student has difficulty hearing and they need an amplifier, they can get that and they can be a straight A student and still get that support. If a student has VMI, visual motor integration difficulty, and they need enlarged print or like a colored lens over their books or over the computer, they can get that without having an IEP. If they're on grade level, they can still get those accommodations so they don't fall behind. But the IEP, they have to show that due to their disability, they're functioning significantly below grade level and below their academic peers. So that's why we're thinking if we take a deeper look at where they are at every triennial, we might see that these kids are on grade level. We might see that just by a little bit of intervention, they might be able to stay on grade level. But if we move a child out of the IEP, we will make sure that we monitor their progress for at least 2 years.
Thank you. I was going to ask that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the question.
You're very welcome.
Is there anyone in the public that would like to make a comment?
All right, we'll continue with the next slide. We are going into some data and charts here. So I want to explain this a little bit. The CASP, the California Assessments for Learning and Proficiency, are state tests, we test our students in grades 3 to 8 and grade 11. And we test them in math and ELA, these two subjects for all those grade levels. A little bit context is that, you know, these are standardized tests, testing students' mastery of the standards, in each of the framework, whether it's ELA or math. You remember during the pandemic, we stopped testing for 2 years. In 1920, when the pandemic happened, in the middle of the year, the states decided to cancel the tests. So for that school year, we don't have any data. And for 2021, it was the still the pandemic year, and some sort of distance learning was already happening. If you recall, distance learning was option. And during that year as well, the state decided to cancel the test. So we're missing 2 years of testing. What you see in front of you is 18-19 school year compared to 21-22 school year. 21-22 school year, you will also remember as pandemic year as well. We're coming out of pandemic and dealing the aftermath of it. Those board members with us, longer time, you will remember as well. The previous, before 18-19, 17-18 and 18-19, we were in an upward trajectory in terms of our proficiency rates increasing. Unfortunately, the pandemic hit our schools, you know, every school in the nation, every school in the world. And then we are still dealing with the aftermath of it. You know, we're not alone on this. You know, every school district, every school, every charter school is dealing with similar impact. And these are some long-lasting impacts, and it will take us a number of years to actually recoup the effect and remedy the loss as a result of that. We're seeing that in the numbers here. You see our average in English language arts in 2019 was 45%, which is, you know, students meeting and exceeding this the standards proficiency. In 2022, it was 42.54. So previous year, when our kids took the test in May, they were proficient at 42%, 42.54, which is similar to LAUSD. You see LAUSD ranking on the right side as well. Their proficiency rate is same as our schools. And then they also declined 2 points compared to 18-19 in aggregate. Similar demographics, similar impact. There are some school districts, some schools out there may not felt the same, but you know, low-income families, you know, schools with higher English learner populations, students with disabilities, low-income and Hispanic, we are feeling, you know, a much bigger effect of the pandemic in our learning. So. We have other school-based context in this data. You know, you see schools jumping a lot, like MSA4. You know, if you were to highlight from 27 to 37, you might ask, you know, what they have done. The context there is that MSA4 in 18-19 had the middle school grade levels 6, 7, 8 tested versus last year they did not have the middle school grade level. So that's actually their 11th grade performance. They're 37.5. So there is that that skew in the data that you will see. MSA1 collocated with MSA5 had one of the biggest impact. You remember LAUSD forced our school MSA5 out of their campus, and we needed to find a home for them. Now MSA5 and 1 are collocated. You know, they've been a good collocated school so far, but you know, it is impacting their educational programs, so we see that impact as well in some of the contexts. Whether in the teacher retention or student performance. So there are those type of contexts for each school. We are, obviously we're having our plans. We've been planning for this for years now. We knew these results will come similar. Let's see the math results as well, next slide. And I'll turn over to the board members for any questions. So this is our MAT results, MAT proficiency. Our aggregate proficiency, students meeting and exceeding in 18-19 was 32.13. Declined to 26.37. That's again, 5 points decline. LAUSD's aggregate proficiency is 28%, similar to ours, and they also declined 5 points. Again, you see some jump in MSA 4 and other schools like MSA 3. We're proud MSA Santa Ana kept their proficiency level. Even MSA 8, Bell, you know, very similar to keep their proficiency level. We've had a number of schools decline in their MAT proficiency. Again, number of factors, you know, school effectiveness factors say the biggest factor is the leadership. We're holding great leadership in our schools. The second factor in school effectiveness is the teacher. And you probably heard the news, you're following the news, it's everywhere that the impact of the pandemic in teachers, teacher retention, teacher performance is evident everywhere. It's in a crisis mode right now. The previous 2 years, we've had problems finding teachers in the classroom. And for the past 2 years, we have the outflux of teachers leaving the education field in general. And our schools are suffering from that as well. We have a specific slide for that. We'll share our data. How does it look for each subject level for the past 2 years? How many teachers were replaced? So these are our state test results in math and ELA. I'll turn over to the board members for any questions.
Are these percentages, and do they, does the number of students affect the percentage rate of the test or no?
It's a good question. These are average scores. So average meaning the number of students meeting and exceeding as compared to the total number. So statistically speaking, the smaller the schools are, the bigger the impact will be, whether they're proficient or not. So like our small schools, MSA 4, MSA 6, you will see the variations higher, whether if you have one or two students meeting and exceeding versus our bigger schools, right? Mm-hmm. So from that comparison, like LAUSD is 28% here, they seem like better than us, but then, you know, they have higher populations in elementary and middle, and in those grade levels, they may have shown bigger proficiency. So, you know, bigger percentages, bigger number of students impact a bigger percentage as well from that perspective. The answer is, yeah, you know, one or two students skewing for smaller schools will make a bigger impact on the average percentage.
Got it. Thank you.
Does anyone in the public want to make a comment? Thank you. Mr. Jara, back to you.
Yeah, board members, any other comments or discussions on the state MAT and ELA results? All right, next slide is our science results. Being a science teacher, former science teacher, and a science coordinator for the Manuel Public Schools, these scores are dear to my heart. Little bit context on this as well. Just before the pandemic, we actually switched to a newer framework and standards. They're called NGSS, Next Generation Science Standards. And our state adopted a framework in 2014-15. And it took us several years to develop, tests to assess those standards. There was a field test in 17-18, and there was a full-blown baseline test in 18-19. So this course you see here is from 18-19, the first time the NGSS aligned state tests were administered. And our performance, there is, you know, varying with, you know, different levels of percentages. We've had schools exceeding LAUSD performance far, and we have MSA San Diego exceeding the San Diego Unified School District, MSA Santa Ana exceeding the Santa Ana, there's a typo there, Santa Ana School District as well. Now comes to 2022, the larger impact on science is evident more than math and ELA during the pandemic. Because, you know, everybody stopped teaching science during the pandemic. So we, you know, especially with the math and reading skills declining, we've given more emphasis on those skills. I mean, we didn't stop teaching science classes. I mean, the science teachers, but the emphasis was more on reading and math skills. And science being learned online in person made it difficult online learning. As we know, the nature of science, you have to have your hands dirty with the scientific process, the labs and the investigations. Similar to the in other school districts and in schools, we have seen a decline in the science test scores as well. We're honored to have schools exceeding their 19 test scores, like MSA 4. Again, you know, they lost the middle school, but again, with their high schoolers, they were 14% proficiency, MSA 5 2.8. MSA 6, our champion school, has a 16% increase from 19 to 2022, which we know they have they held their science teachers for the past several years, and they are having strong science programs. So this is the science course. Any questions, comments on this?
Hi, this is Jenny, the academic assistant. Before we open up to the committee members, I just wanted to see if anyone in the public would like to make a comment. No one? Okay. Committee members, if you have any questions or comments.
Thank you, Jenny. Given the time, if we can hold the questions for the public and the committee members towards the end of the presentation, since there's 20 slides in total.
Yes. Yes, time check, it's 5:38. And the regular board meeting is supposed to start at 6 o'clock. So yes, we are on a time crunch.
All right, moving to next slides, I'll speed up. This is the current year's data, and this is our internal tests, and these are validated tests, and these are national norm tests. And in this, we measure the growth within the year as well as the proficiency. So the data you have in front of you is the growth data between two time points. And those two time points are fall 2021, so the exactly a year before, to this school year. How many of our students, they met their growth target, their expected learning increase in both math and reading. We not only have the percentage, we also have the CGI, which is explained down, and it's called conditional growth index, meaning that, you know, any number above zero is a positive growth, you know, and then acknowledge, and any number negative is a decline, and acknowledge that way as well. So we've had a number of schools doing great in terms of meeting their growth targets. You may ask, you know, why we are meeting the growth targets, but why the proficiency is low, because, you know, those are two different things. You know, we are growing, our kids are learning at a greater pace, but then the gap that they need to fill in to become proficient at those standards is big. So so they're coming a few grade levels behind and it takes time for them to catch up. But they're on the right trajectory. That this data is showing that this is the math and reading. 60% of our kids are meeting their growth targets. 55% is in reading, which is the average growth. Next slide. This is the proficiency projection, another data point that we get when we administer our fall NWA tests, meaning that, you know, at this proficiency level, mastery level, how many percent of our kids are projected to be proficient in the upcoming state tests. So level 3 and 4 combined, you see each school's score. In aggregate, we're 44.2% proficiency. 42 was our state proficiency. So seems like we'll be exceeding that, you know, based on this projected. We take granulated because of the correlation between the two tests. Two tests are not exactly the same. Next up is the math. And the projected proficiency at format is 23.66, pretty similar to our current proficiency level. And we're expecting some of our schools are doing good. Some of them are struggling with their learners, as indicated in the state test as well, which are taking into consideration our planning. Next slide. I'll turn over to Will Gray, our director for education programs, to explain this information. Will.
Thank you, Mr. Jar. As introduced, this is Will Gray, director of educational services. We wanted to put some numbers to the reality that our sites and our administrators are living in terms of teacher turnover. As Mr. Jar mentioned, it's a nationwide challenge. There's lots of things even in the wider news like the LA Times where we see articles. And so that is holding true in that we have had teacher turnover. We have round numbers, 235 active teaching staff at our Magnolia campuses. And since the end of the 2020-2021 school year, we have hired 108 teachers. And so some of those teachers that joined us exited fairly quickly. Others have stayed with us. The departments that have been most heavily affected are the ones in the chart. You can see it broken down by department. So elementary is a big group, but that also covers TK through 5. So they service a big chunk of our students. And then special education, English, and science are the ones where we are having some challenges hiring and retaining teachers. And that also is in line with nationwide trends. Just some quick data. As of January 2022, 44% of public schools reported having at least one teacher vacancy, and many of our schools would be in that same category. In terms of how to address it, we have support programs where the academic team has hosted 2 in-person new teacher training days designed by our director of math and our director of English. And we're planning a 3rd training day to be held during second semester to capture some mid-year hires and teach them the Magnolia way. And then school sites have received grants for teacher coaching, and the exact implementation is varied by site. Some are hiring from inside and having one of their teachers coach. Other folks are bringing in outside experts. And we also have a Google Classroom for as needed resource access for quick reference, lesson planning, differentiating, things like that. And then I also know our HR team are going to universities to recruit folks. So for example, I know they've been to UCI, my alma mater, and Cal State Dominguez Hills in recent weeks to try and recruit university students. And we also have a fair number of folks that are paraprofessionals that are on a career pathway to become teachers. I forget the exact number, I apologize, but we have a few teachers that have been in Magnolia classrooms previously, either as students, they're our alumni, or as paraprofessionals helping out in the classroom, and now they have classrooms of their own. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. I'll turn over to Tracy for this slide to explain our support to our schools.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Tracy Lewin, Director of Math Programs. This year, we have started doing instructional rounds as a team. And what this means is we're doing day-long visits to our schools as an academic team, and the accountability team has joined us, and Mr. Rubikava has joined us. And we are actually going into classrooms of all subjects, not just focusing on ELA and math, but of all subjects this year, and observing our teachers alongside of the school leadership team. So we have all of the school leadership involved in these instructional rounds, and we are going through and really observing what's going on as far as instruction goes in our classrooms so that we can really get our pulse on it and be able to adjust our actions and support accordingly. So we have finished our September rounds. We were able to visit each and every single one of our school sites, and we had all of our leadership teams from those school sites in the visits, and we just gathered some baseline data to see where we're at for at this point in time. And we're gonna follow up in November and December with a check-in and really look at how far we've come. Each of the visits, we leave the leadership team with an action plan so that they can follow up and really have some clear steps on how we can tweak our practices, just minor tweaks, to really improve student learning outcomes. So we'll follow up in November and December with check-in number one, and then again in January and February with check-in number two. And then we'll do a fourth round in April, kind of a summative observation to see how much growth we've had and what we need to do with our planning over the summer. So some highlights from that: we have visited all 10 schools. We've collected baseline data for all of them. We have actually been in 158 classrooms. So we were able to observe 158 of our teachers and gave coaching feedback to the site leaders. And again, all school leaders have taken part in these instructional rounds. It's been a great practice, and we're really excited that we have been able to do this year. So just an overview of our instructional rounds, and we'll give you updates throughout the year on that. Mr. Ajar, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you. Next slide, I will come back to you, Will, for some excited and great news.
Will. Yes, this is Will Gray, Director of Educational Services, once again. And I wanted to give you an update on our dual enrollment programs. We partner with Los Angeles Valley College and Santa Ana College to offer dual enrollment, which is college courses for high school students. And that program is expanding rapidly. Last fall, we had 296 college seats. Some students took more than one course. And this year we have 388. So we've gone up by almost a third, which is very exciting. Our pass rates are staying high as the program expands. Right now, three of our schools offer it during the school day, and they have higher dual enrollment because it's more convenient for students. And so they're kind of piloting that thought process. And so hopefully that disseminates among the schools. You can see the totals. MSA 1 through 5 have 70, 92, 32, 71, 76, and MSA Santa Ana also has 76 students for a total of 417 students taking courses, which is pretty exciting. The reason that number is higher than the 388 I mentioned is we actually have students taking college courses on their own. So in addition to the courses that are facilitated by Magnolia, hosted by Magnolia, set up by Magnolia, students are actually enjoying the program so much they're taking additional courses. And so we're continuing to look at how to expand it. We actually, this morning, I got an email from LA Valley College where they are hoping to add courses to our agreement with them. They just sent me a list of 136 college courses that are available to us to add to our agreement, which is very exciting. 133 of them are CSU transfer courses, 106 are UC transfer, and 74 are work for those two schools and towards an AA degree. So we're gonna look to really use those high leverage courses for our students and continue to provide proactive supports for them as they engage in this. We had some students taking individual classes at Pierce College, but currently our agreement is with LA Valley College, and they are extremely flexible, offering in-person classes, Zoom classes. And so thanks to the foundation that MSA2 laid and their relationship they have with us. With LA Valley College, we've been able to kind of lean into that and grow the program. And it's just, it's a very exciting time. It's a big lift by our college counselors, but they're doing the work. And current students have earned 2,825 college credits since fall 2021. And obviously that number is going to go up. So I'm just excited to see those numbers go up. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, next up, we'll continue with Jason Hernandez, Director of Student Services. Jason.
Hi, good evening, everybody. This is Jason Hernandez, Director of Student Services for Magnolia Public School. Here in front of you, you have the ADA for all of our schools for the first month. And you also have a comparison of last year. So as you can see, there is a slight improvement. Obviously, we do want to do better in regards to what are some factors that are hindering our attendance. Obviously, beginning of the school year, we typically have things such as Tdaps or vaccination shots that a lot of parents were late to get. And that's just been common across a lot of schools as children return. We did have a reflection session with our school leaders to try to understand what is hindering their attendance. And we're really looking forward to bettering our systems as well as finding ways to recognize positive student achievement in this area. So that's the ADA update for you. And if you could change the slide, I also have the next one. This one deals with disciplinary stuff as well as some other attendance data you see there. We have our out-of-school suspension, our in-school suspension, and our expulsion data, and you get to see from as far back to 2018 all the way to currently now, as well as our ADA and our chronic absenteeism. As you can see, our chronic absenteeism is high, and we are working to lower that and support those kiddos. As far as discipline, it has been a challenge. The SEL piece is a huge component, and so we're finding ways to be creative with SEL, but also, like Mr. Gray had mentioned about the teacher shortage, we do have some of our schools that are lacking full-time teacher. They have substitutes in there, and that does make it very problematic when it comes to structure and the climate of the school. So that's my report for you guys.
All right, we'll go back to Dr. Kalam.
I'm never unmuted on time. Sorry about that. I think we're just highlighting, three things on these lists, right, Mr. Ajar?
That's correct for the time being. So just high-level updates on your program and departments.
Okay, then I guess I'm going to focus on the fact that we're trying to put in place a speech and language program. I did speak with someone at Cerritos today. It's down at the bottom under other highlights. And it looks like we may have a speech and language person who wants to work in the Valley. So hopefully we can work that out and start onboarding our speech and language people. That's one of our goals this year. Another major goal is to, now that Crystal's on board, I'm very excited about her being here because she's going to work with us to create and develop a very strong and interactive GATE curriculum that we can implement Magnolia-wide. And with that, I am going to pass it on to the next person. Have a nice evening.
Hello, this is Will Gray, Director of Educational Services again. So my highlights would be continue to support the expansion and improvement of dual enrollment and continue to grow our college and career readiness program and support TOSA's in developing departmental instructional assessment goals so we can have data reflections. With that, I will turn it over to Jason Hernandez.
All right, Jason Hernandez again. So just going to highlight a few things here. I've mentioned PBIS recognition. We did go through that route last year. We'll continue that route this year. We did distribute the Metro TAP cards, and Santa Ana's worked hard to get cards distributed in Orange County. And I continue to do the CPI training for all our school staff members. And now I'll pass it over to Tracy, Ms. Lewin.
Thank you. Good evening again. This is Tracy Lewin, Director of Math Programs. So really focusing in on supporting our math teachers. We have 10 brand new math teachers. We're still looking for a couple more. So making sure that they're getting all the support they need. This is the year for our math curriculum adoption. So we will be bringing that to you in the second semester. Teachers are all investigating the potential curriculum right now. And then just really working alongside the academic team to support our schools and high quality instruction in our schools. With that, I'll turn it over to Katie Mann.
Good evening, everyone. Katie Mann, Director of EL and ELA programs. Beginning of the year is really heavily focused on starting our EL programs off strong. So this year I've supported our EL coordinators at each of our MPS schools with the completion of 70 initial LPAC assessments. That was just what was completed in the first 30 days. We've had additional initials completed since then. But in 30 days, we did 70 of those, which was a 280% increase over last school year. So speaking specifically to enrollment at our elementary levels, we had many more students enrolling in TK kinder and first grade this year than in the past. And those are primarily the students that need the initial LPAC assessments. I've also worked with our schools to ensure that appropriate EL services are being provided to our English learner population. We currently have over 720 students that are identified and receiving EL services as of a couple weeks ago. And for our ELA teachers, you heard earlier about English being one of the departments most impacted by teacher turnover. I have been onboarding a new ELA department teacher on special assignment this year to help support our department, as well as two new EL coordinators at our schools and 13 plus actually a new one today, new English teachers that we have hired that have started this year. With that, I think I'm last. I'll turn it back to Mr. Ajar to close us out.
Thank you, team. Thanks for the presentation. So I'll turn over to Jenny for any public or board members' questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. This is Jenny, the academic assistant. Before we give the committee members an opportunity to ask any questions, I'm going to turn it over to the public to see if they have any comments. No comments? Committee members, if you have any questions, you can do so now. We have about 2 minutes left before your regular board meeting is supposed to commence. So if you have any questions, you can ask them now, or you can actually hold your questions until the regular board meeting, because I believe that this is the same presentation that we'll be presenting during the regular board meeting. Any questions? No? Okay. If there's anything else you want to, anyone needs to say anything, then Ms. Gonzalez, can you please adjourn the meeting? Are you on? Oh my gosh. Oh, there you are. Ms. Gonzalez.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No worries.
I would like to adjourn our academy meeting, and it is 5:59 on October the 13th, 2022. See you at the next board.
Yes. Information is on the chat. If you need to click, have the phone number, it's all over there. Thank you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. See you guys. Okay. Hi, Artis.
Bye-bye, Jen.